Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to do double time travel. This is Wretched Radio. Some programs, they'll do time travel. No, not on Wretched Radio. We do double time travel, even though I don't exactly know what that means. We're going to go back in time twice. Two, very recently at Grace Community Church, Los Angeles, California, reading a letter from a church in Edmonton, Canada called Grace Life Church, whose pastor was imprisoned for 35 days because they did not adhere to the AHS, that would be your Alberta Health Services mandates, to put on masks, social distance, and limit attendance. Grace Life Church determined, as every church can determine for themselves, we have to obey the Lord and assemble, because they did not deem the dangers to be so extreme that it required those extreme measures. And so they arrested the pastor. Hey, there's a first in Western civilization. They release the fellow. What does he do? That's right, as predicted. He did church. Except for this last week, when the AHS decided, no, you're not going to assemble. We're going to put a fence around your church. And so the members of Grace Life Church weren't able to get into their building. Did that stop them from doing church? No. They did it elsewhere. Undisclosed location. And that is why we are now going to go back in time twice to the first century church. If any of the details about this current situation with Grace Life Church in Canada sound remotely familiar to what happened in the first century when the apostles were being persecuted, when they counted it all joy to do so, to be deemed worthy of being persecuted, letters were regularly exchanged. Specifically, you'll recall the letter to the Philippians, Paul writing from prison, telling the Philippians to be joyful like he is. That's right, from jail, he encouraged them, be joyful like I am, because he's learned how to because of his faith in Jesus Christ. So as we go back in time to recent time and listen to this letter from Pastor James Coates of Grace Life Church in Canada to Grace Community Church in Los Angeles, take yourself back in time to the first century. Think about what it would have been like back then to be in the context where the church was regularly persecuted, and what the attitudes must have been like, what the feeling of the body must have been like to receive letters, communications from other churches where people were being persecuted. Whether you were or not at the moment, this had to be very similar to what they experienced in the first century. As you listen to Pastor John MacArthur read the letter from Pastor James Coates, let's go back in time twice.
I have a great privilege and honor, before we have a word of prayer and sing a hymn, to read a letter to you this morning. Grace Life Church up in Alberta, Canada, is meeting somewhere. We don't know where. James Coates said at this point it's not for the public to know. Amazing to have an underground church in Canada.
Think about that. It's amusing sounding, but who would have thought a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago? Actually, some people did start thinking about it, because that was when Obergefell was passed, and it didn't take a prophet with future forecasting abilities to recognize, this ruling is going to come into conflict with Christian teaching on genders, marriage, sexuality. Tick, tick, tick. It's been 5 years, and now a pastor in Canada is imprisoned, and their church has a fence around it? and they have to meet secretly Hoofda.
This because the government of Alberta triple fenced the church in and locked it so people couldn't go there. I think the latest statistics I've seen are that 2,000 people have died through the months of COVID, 80% of them in senior homes.
In Edmonton.
The remaining ones had some kind of comorbidity out of the millions of people who live in Alberta. So there's no legitimate reason to do what they did to this church, especially at this point in the COVID life. But they did. And this is a first for the Western world to have the government lock out believers from a church. And that after imprisoning James Coates, who's a graduate of the Master's Seminary, in maximum security prison. They led him away in chains, and he was there for about 35 days. Mm. Many of you have been praying for Grace Life Church, and the scene is changing. There is a massive outcry against the government for doing this, and I'm praying along with you that this will draw attention to that church, to him, and to the gospel. And it's already beginning to do that. But he sent a letter that he wanted me to read to all of you. As this is his heart of gratitude to Grace Church. So I'm just going to read it the way he sent it yesterday. To Grace Community Church, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace in him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has superabundantly glorified himself through you. For decades, you have been a strong and steadfast pillar and support of the truth. So much so, the Lord has established many other beacons of truth throughout this world as a direct result of your ministry. You have exemplified a profound love for the brethren, warm service and hospitality, and an undeniable love for God and his word. In fact, his word has sounded forth from you with such power and precision that the fruit of your ministry is absolutely immeasurable this side of heaven. Pastor John's 52 years of faithful ministry is as much a testimony to you as it is to him. May God richly reward you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the way you cared for me, my family, and congregation during my imprisonment. Your love and prayerful support were vital to our steadfastness in the face of suffering. The letter from the elders was an immense encouragement. The support from Dr. Nathan Buzenitz and the Master's Seminary was both humbling and strengthening. And the pastoral care provided by Pastor John was incredibly comforting. It was also a rich blessing to receive letters from a number of you while imprisoned. Those letters provided necessary fuel for my resolve. My wife, Erin, also sends her greetings and thankfulness. She was and continues to be greatly strengthened by your letters. You poured into her early in her spiritual development, and you are pouring into her now as well. You have suffered well for the gospel. It is an indescribable blessing to join you in that suffering. Our congregations have been counted worthy for this purpose. May we rejoice in this, as did the apostles in their sufferings. Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord over all creation and the supreme head of the church. We will bow to him and him alone. Only he is worthy. And now may he continually strengthen you unto all faithfulness, and may he constantly radiate his honor and glory through you. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. James Coates.
Feeling like you're in the first century all of a sudden? Perhaps it's because you are. Unprecedented measures from the government toward Christian churches. Arresting, fencing, barring people from their own facility. By the way, if you've been wondering what's been going on in Los Angeles, California with the Grace Community Church lawsuit,
a wonderful letter, isn't it?
John MacArthur is going to give a little bit of an update of what's happening with their situation.
Here we're meeting and they're not. And it's not because we're worthy of such kindness from the Lord, it's grace, isn't it? Grace has always been full of grace. And we're seeing it at the hand of the Lord. They keep postponing our court day. This is, I think, the fifth or sixth time they've postponed it. Now till, I guess, June 23rd, and the state is supposed to open June 15th, so it looks like the judge just punted.
The times, they have a changed. The church is no longer esteemed as it once was, and that means the people inside of its four walls are not considered people who know what reality is. We are contra reality, the new morality, and we stand at odds with the state. Question: how might you respond when your pastor is arrested, when your church is surrounded by chain link fence? Are you ready to live in the first century? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining us today for another episode of Wretched Radio. We certainly appreciate you and appreciate your time. We also want to point you in the direction of our newest resource, Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3. It's a 63-lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, bullying, and suicide. If it's your first exposure to biblical counseling, prepare to be staggered at the Bible's ability to diagnose and counsel those who are struggling simply just to live another day. The devil is good at what he does, but Jesus is much better at what he does, which is telling the truth and giving life abundantly. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 opens the door to the Bible like you've never experienced it before. Check it out right now and order your copy today for yourself and those in your life that you know are struggling. Wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
If you happen to be a Tomorrow Club sponsor, this is going to thrill your heart. This is Cindy Marty, one of the leaders of the Tomorrow Clubs, with her husband Paul, sharing a story of the impact of a Tomorrow Club kids Bible clubs meeting weekly in Eastern Europe. The story of a young man named
Arzenia. Literally, he was like a street rat. He repented, came to know Christ, and then he became like a helper in his Tomorrow Club. Then he became a leader of his Tomorrow Club and a director. And now today he's directing about 40 clubs.
The impact of the gospel in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider becoming a sponsor of a Tomorrow Club? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids like Arzenia. They're getting saved. The churches are getting revitalized for $30 a month. Please consider becoming a sponsor at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
People over the age of 30 typically wonder how people under the age of 18 make it through life on their own. You know, some tend to think kids have it much easier these days, and in some respects, I'll concede there may be some truth to that. But ultimately, kids today live in a much different world than a lot of us grew up in. So questions like, why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? Is there really only one way to heaven? And so many others are what this generation struggles with the most. I mean, 70% of young people leave the faith when they enter college. And that's where Road Trip to Truth comes in. John Favarez hit the road to talk to kids and hear their perspectives. And he also spoke to leading experts to help shed some light on the challenges kids are facing. So get your copy of Season 1 of Road Trip to Truth right now at roadtriptotruth.org. That's roadtriptotruth.org. See for yourself the struggles this generation is facing and learn how to witness to them.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why? Because it's everywhere. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you've heard us talk a little bit about a little something called critical race theory. Friel, it seems that you talk about it a lot. There's a reason for it. Despite the fact that it can indeed be a bit of a drubbing to revisit a subject regularly, the reality is that subject is visiting us constantly in every realm of our lives. And if we are not aware of what is driving, what is going on, not only in our culture, but inside of our church doors, we will not even know what is assailing us. Isn't it good to know the enemy? Sorry for the warlike talk, but that is a biblical motif that is used regularly. Certainly, we don't go to war with arms. We are in a spiritual battle, and we tear down strongholds, more militaristic language, false ideologies, bad worldviews, wonky religions. All of those systems seek one goal: to tear down the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what they're after. And if we are not aware of our current enemy, what it looks like, how it manifests itself, and how insidious it is, you and I won't even know what hit us. Critical race theory is not just happening outside of the gate. It's happening inside of the church. That means every single thing that you see going on in the world, whatever the issue is, racial issues, gender issues, marriage issues, critical race theory or critical social justice is behind all of those ideologies. And we had better get ready. Headline: Target has a devotional. You'd like to think that Snopes would say, no, this isn't true. Target sells best-selling devotional that includes a prayer asking God to, quote, help me to hate white people. It's a book being sold at Target and Walmart in the devotion and meditation section. It's number one on Amazon's Christian meditation and devotionals. It's called A Rhythm of Prayer. It's available at a retailer near you, written by a woman whose last name is Walker-Barnes. Quote, the book reads, Dear God, please help me to hate white people. Or at least want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually and collectively. Wow. Staggering vitriol. Printed. Made it through editors. The publisher said, yeah. The buyers at Target and Walmart said, thumbs up to that. And it is being distributed, and it is number one on the Amazon Christian meditation and devotional section. I want to stop caring about their misguided, racist souls, to stop believing they can be better and that they can stop being racist, she writes. This is clearly not biblical, even though the woman says she's a theologian. This is not how we are to treat people who harm us. We are to turn the other cheek. We are to forgive. We are to love our enemies. We are not to despise them. We are not to be apathetic toward them. We are to care for them. And so this devotional, amongst other things, falls short in regards to correct understanding of how we're supposed to treat people who are not inside of the church, which leads us to inside of the church. If what we see going on in the world is motivated by critical theory or critical social justice, we are seeing it imported into the church in very similar ways. So everything you see out there, it's coming in here. Now, let's just for a moment imagine that this sentiment expressed in writing in a book on Amazon, Walmart, and Target makes its way into the church, your church, because you decide to open up the door to critical theory because, well, maybe it is a helpful analytical tool. Maybe it does help us to understand the Bible a little better. Maybe it has something. Let's just be nice about it so that people don't get upset. It's, after all, a very tender and sensitive issue. Get ready for this attitude to happen in your church. Do I need to repeat what she says? Dear God, help me to hate white people? That's her goal in life. And if that's her out there, I can almost assure you that will be you in there. Because this is what is being promoted. And it doesn't stop at the door of the church. Every nasty aspect of critical theory, and frankly, I struggle to think of a positive one, is making its way into the church. Pastor, if you think that by being somewhat laid back about the subject, you're going to foster all kinds of love and sensitivity. No, you're not, because that's not what this is about. This is about hatred and division. Don't think that it's not going on already in evangelical Christianity and that it can't happen in your church. The author of this book adds that white people she wants to hate are, quote, Fox News-loving, Trump-supporting voters who don't see color but who take thinly veiled racist comments about those people. The people who are happy to have me over for dinner, but alert the neighborhood watch anytime an unrecognized person of color passes their house. Wild stereotypes, nevertheless. Category switches. The people who welcome black people in their churches and small groups, but brand us as heretics if we suggest that Christianity is concerned with the poor and the oppressed. No, nobody says that we're not concerned about the poor and the oppressed. What we're concerned about is critical race theory, because it fosters animosity and hatred toward people who simply have a different level of melanin. That's what this does. That's why we don't like it. That's why we want to keep it out. Quote, the author wrote, this kind of thing, this by the way was a commentary from the pastor who discovered it. This kind of thinking is a direct result of CRT, and it is completely anti-biblical. He's completely right. And you are now seeing that critical theory, which felt like an abstract ideology out there, kind of what those people do and talk about and debate on university campuses, it's coming into the church. It's going to come into your church. At least it's going to start knocking on the door. And not only will you introduce a whole lot of hatred because critical theory demands a new hermeneutic of the Bible, you're not going to recognize your Bible after long from the devotional. Quote, let me be like Jonah, unwilling for my enemies to change. Jonah was punished because he didn't want that. It's not a good thing. You don't want to be like Jonah in that regard. You want to be the obedient Jonah, not the runaway from God Jonah. But this woman, this theologian, she's praying that we'll be like Jonah, unwilling for my enemies to change. Huh? How did she get... Because interpretation, it's all done through the lens of critical race theory. It is a hermeneutical system. Let me be like Lot. Able to walk away from them and their sinfulness without trying to call them to repentance. Last time I checked, he did, actually. He told them, don't do this thing. Stop this behavior. Don't treat our guests this way. That to me sounds like a call to repentance. Let me stop seeing them as members of the same body. Free me from this burden of calling them to confession and repentance. But I will trust in you, my Lord, she writes and concludes. Critical theory, tired of it? Absolutely. It's, by the way, don't forget, even its name makes it clear, it's a theory. This isn't proven. I think we tend to accept it, sort of like, you know, the theory of evolution. Well, everybody's talking about it. It must be true. No, it's not. It's a theory, and it's not biblical, nor is it grounded in statistical reality. But it is everywhere. In Arkansas, they're becoming the first state to ban transgender surgery using hormones on kids. Governor Asa Hutchinson going to be signing the bill probably any moment if he hasn't already. Now, this is another manifestation of critical theory, that we give drugs to children because they identify as a different gender. And if we don't allow them and facilitate it, then we are being an oppressor, and oppressors need to be cast off. So do you think that the line on sexuality will be maintained inside of the church as critical theory continues to seep its way in? California allowing hundreds of transgender inmates to request transfers to prisons aligning with gender identity. Hundreds of them. About two of them are women, by the way, but the rest are men who want to go to the women's prison because they identify now as a goyle. What is this? Critical theory. What is this? Chaos. What is this? Dangerous for women and children. And if it is out there, it is going to try to come in here. Recognize the enemy, lock the door, fortify it, and keep critical race theory out. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. We're coming from the Not Making Very Much Sense file, two Christian nurses who complied with the supervisor's orders to remove stickers at a government hospital were arrested in Pakistan last Friday after a Muslim employee attacked one of them with a knife for the removal of a sticker bearing Quranic verses. So the two Christian nurses were arrested after being attacked with a knife. Yeah, doesn't make much sense. But they were charged under Section 295B of Pakistan's blasphemy statutes against defiling the Quran after an Islamist mob demanded death to blasphemers inside civil hospital, according to their attorney. Conviction under Section 295B is punishable by up to 10 years imprisonment and or a fine. The two nurses were sent to jail in judicial custody last Friday for their security. The families have gone into hiding for fear of the Islamist mobs. A Muslim co-worker attacked one of the nurses, according to a cell phone video recorded by an unidentified hospital employee, showing the co-worker telling a group that he attacked her with a knife. He's shown saying that he saw her ask another employee to tear off a sticker inscribed with a prayer used for the Prophet Muhammad. The matter was seemingly settled after the two Christians assured co-workers that they had no ill intentions and left the hospital after ending their shift. But on Friday morning, someone again instigated the staff and they attacked the two women. It was clear that both women had been framed in a false case. Sources said a Muslim nurse with help instigated staff members against the two women. And when word of the incident spread, an enraged mob, including extremist Muslims, converged on the hospital, raising fears for security of the two women and other Christian workers. Church leaders and rights activists have appealed to the government to ensure a fair investigation as panic spread among Christian medical workers. The blasphemy accusations against the two women comes after a nurse at a hospital and a gospel singer were slapped, beaten, and locked in a room by a violent mob back in January after a Muslim co-worker baselessly accused her of blaspheming Islam. Police initially cleared her, but later succumbed to pressure of an Islamist mob that converged on their station and charged her with insulting Muhammad, which is punishable by death. As always, continue to pray for our brothers and sisters abroad. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD. After fire ravages Rome, Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians. Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What one word describes what is simmering underneath all of the zaniness that we are seeing in our world? This is Wretched Radio. If you had to pick one word that really got to the core of the issue, what is this about? Why are the foundations crumbling? What is the issue at hand? And whilst I would agree with you, there are many options. Perhaps vying for the number one spot would be the one word, truth. Truth is what is being debated. Not just reality, but the truth behind the reality. Who defines what it is? What is it? How do we define it? Who has to submit to it? Who is the one who is going to judge those who don't adhere to the truth? That, to me, is why we are seeing so much new thinking, ways of viewing subjects, interpreting the news, the behavior, not just of politicians, but of celebrities, sports figures, and most certainly of Christians. We are living in a season where we are debating what used to be assumed. In Western civilization, whilst we no doubt have moved away from pre-modern thinking, which is the Bible says it, that settles it. We moved, of course, philosophically in the 1400s into an age of reason. The empirical season where we determined the Bible and the church, not so much. Human beings and science, we've got it figured out. But after it didn't pan out so sweet, courtesy of World Wars I and II, because of French philosophers, the German school of philosophy and kind of mingled in there, the liberalism inside of the church, we decided truth, not so knowable. Maybe we just can't know truth, or if we can, it's just a personalized sort of affair. Your truth is your truth, mine is mine. And now we are seeing that full bloom. Are there people in this country who still believe in reality as defined by the Bible? Yep, there most certainly are. But increasingly, there are people who resist and reject the truth of God's word, as the number of people who don't even profess to be followers of Jesus Christ are able to cast off the shackles due to the lack of societal shame and restraint that once existed all by itself. Nobody had to produce it. It was just there. As that gets cast off, people can increasingly shake a fist at God and say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to define truth. And that is where we are at today. Would like to share with you an encouragement to keep battling for the truth, to not stop desiring that people will know the truth, not just so that we can win this truth war, but so that they can know the joy of knowing the truth. If you are growing weary of what you are seeing, don't forget what's at stake here. We do not fight with physical weapons. This is a spiritual war. The battle is over truth, which is why the weapons that God gives to us to engage in this battle are all spiritual, specifically the Word of God itself. And that is why, if we hope to win this war, we are not going to try to logic and reason with people. We are going to do what? Reason with them from the Scriptures. We are going to preach Christ and Him crucified. Nothing else. Why? Because that is the truth that will set people free. Let this sermon jam from Stephen Lawson encourage you to contend earnestly for the truth.
We could say when the truth speaks, God speaks. And when the truth commands, God commands. When the truth promises, God promises. Because God is truth. Truth means the real state of affair. It's the way things really are. Truth is not what the majority of people perceive something to be. Truth is not what we want something to be. Truth is whatever God says something is. In one word, truth is reality. Truth is the way things really are. All that matters is what God says something is. That is what it is. Sin is what God says it is. That is the truth. Salvation is what God says it is. That is the truth. Heaven and hell is what God says that it is. And so truth is reality. Truth is the way things really are. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so in this high priestly prayer, there is a vein of gold that runs through this shaft. There is truth. And Jesus prays this in a world that is filled with skepticism toward any notion of the truth. Pilate has scoffed at the very idea of truth. Jesus has said, I have come into the world to testify to the truth, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? In a very dismissive way. And yet Jesus held firmly to the conviction that there is truth. The Bible is authoritative. It doesn't just sit there. It's not just merely interesting. Truth makes demands upon us. Truth is not a mere suggestion. It's not an option that is being presented to us. Truth is commanding. Truth is demanding. Truth is sovereign. Truth has the right to rule our lives. God has not stuttered. God has not muttered. God has not edited his own word. God has spoken. The grass withers. The flower fades away. But the word of our God abides forever. And the word of God is true. Let God be found true, though every man be found a liar.
Here's the question that most of us are pondering at this moment. We just listened to 2 minutes and 26 seconds of a Stephen Lawson sermon jam. There are approximately 8 minutes remaining. How much more intense can the music and Steve Lawson get in crescendo together? Let's find out, shall we?
The life and destiny of every one of us is determined by our relationship to the truth. You cannot be saved apart from the truth. You will not grow one inch beyond your intake of the Word of God. Truth is divine. In other words, it comes down from above. Truth does not originate in this world.
By the way, also learned from, I think it was Phil Johnson, the psalm. It's Psalm 1, if you want to look it up. How good and how pleasing it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's one of those short psalms. The psalmist, he's talking about the beauty of being one in the truth with one another. It is like, and then he gives two illustrations, dew coming down from Mount Hermon, and like beard running down, or oil rather, running down Aaron's beard. And the implication is that unity has to come down. And it comes down with truth. As truth comes down from heaven to us through the Word of God, it fosters unity. So not only is truth revealed from heaven to us here coming down, but the effects of it also come down. As this truth comes down, the blessings of being a Christian come with it. I would ask you, how are you doing in consuming the word that has come down from heaven to you in a little old book we call the Bible?
Truth does not arise out of culture. The truth does not find its origin in man. God is the author of all truth. God is the source of truth. God is the determiner of truth. He is the arbitrator of truth, and he is the judge of truth. There's not one drop of truth outside of Christ as it relates to matters of our salvation and sanctification. You see, truth is Trinitarian. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all three identified as the truth.
What? All three, which is one more reason why we believe in the Trinity, incidentally. Because God the Father is described as the truth, so is Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. They are the truth. They don't look for it. They don't study it. They are it. They don't adhere to it. They don't meet its standard. They are it. They don't seek to expand truth or introduce new truths. They are. Everything that truth is accompanied in their person. And this is where it gets very practical. Would you like the truth? Would you like to know the truth? Don't we really? Even though it might be hard, wouldn't you like to know the truth? Haven't you asked for that yet as you continue to watch the news? You see the CNN reports, and it's like, just give me the truth. Stop sludge. Just give me the truth. And if that is your heart, that is how you feel, you'd like the truth, then don't just think about the truth. Think about the one who is the truth. Don't just read the Bible, which contains truth. It contains the one who is truth. And so if you want more truth, seek God. Don't seek truth. Seek him, because in finding him, you will find truth, the truth. And you'll have more joy, and you'll have more assurance, and you will have more peace. Want truth? Then want Jesus. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
We all know we have nothing to do with our own salvation, right? Saving people is God's job. As for us, though, we still have the ability to save. How so, you ask? Well, later this year, the Wretched Warehouse will be moving, and you can do a little saving as a result. You can save money, lots of money, on our gospel booklets, You Might Be a Rotten Fish, The Man Who Split Time, 13 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide, and Don't Stub Your Toe. You can also help to save others, like us. You can help save our backs from moving all these resources, and you can also help save us from breaking nails or even breaking a sweat. And by us, I mean time, but you get my point. Our move later this year means big savings for you on all of our gospel booklets, and you can hand these out anywhere to help start gospel-centered conversations with just about anyone. Check out the sale right now at the Wretched Store, wretched.org. That's wretched.org. Save us and yourself right now at wretched.org.
Well, here's something you'll almost never hear a talk radio show host say. Don't be like me. That's right. A talk show host saying, don't be like me. Why? Because we dilly-dallied regarding MediShare. We learned about affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to traditional health insurance, which saves on average $500 per month per family. And we thought, And the next thing you know, over 24 months went by before we got serious about investigating MediShare. We did. It passed the Friel family sniff test, and we are very happy that we are members and only lament that we hadn't done it sooner. So please, don't be like me. Check out MediShare for you and your family. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Call now. 1-844-34-BIBLE.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a curse for us. When Adam sinned, all creation came under a curse, and everyone who breaks God's law is cursed. But Jesus bore our curse on the cross so that we may receive the blessings of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy, maybe 3-1 odds. Do you want to do 3-1 odds on this? Oh, we're back on. Hello, this is Wretched Radio. We weren't gambling about whether or not the music would get more intense or Steve Lawson's volume would increase. No, we weren't betting because that wouldn't be very Christian now, would it? Instead, let's just listen to Steve Lawson in a sermon jam. Wee bit on the intense side. Bring it home. Bang, bang, bang on the subject of the truth. I can't help but ask you, dear pastor, when you're preaching, do you take the time to think through a word to this degree? Could you preach for 10 minutes and 39 seconds in rapid-fire succession about all that the truth is? I'm not talking about even going and finding all kinds of Bible verses to exegete. Just take that word truth. When Jesus when Jesus himself, the truth, was standing in front of Pilate saying, I came to testify of the truth. And in John 14, 6, when he said, I am the truth, how long could you go on the word truth? Please make sure, dear sir, that you are taking the time to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the truths of the word truth and every other theological term, because in doing so, wow, when this sermon jam is done, you're just downright high on the truth.
What a firm foundation we have for our faith. What a strong place we have to stand upon the Word of God. It is never shaking and never moving beneath us. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter of the law to fail. God never changes, and neither does His truth. Truth is fixed. Truth is established. Truth is immutable. It is eternal. Your Word I have established above your throne. It endures forever. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of our God abides forever. Forever is a long time, my friend. And forever, the word of God is settled in heaven. It is transgenerational. What was true for your grandparents is true today, will be true for your grandchildren. Truth never changes. MacArthur says you do not take the word of God, twist the word of God, alter the word of God, change the word of God, embellish the word of God, diminish the word of God. You do not change the word because you think the culture would like it to be said another way. Listen, we are simply the messengers. We are not the editors of the word of God. Because truth is immutable, it's always up to date. Preach the Bible because it's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. The Bible is the most relevant book that has ever been written. This book is alive. This book is never outdated. This book has a permanent shelf life, and it always speaks to the issues of every generation on every continent in every time. In fact, the Bible speaks to every single person who is alive on the earth, whether they hear it or not.
Hold on. Did we just get a music tempo change? Furthermore, the Bible not having an expiration date, I immediately did a little word association game, and honey popped into my mind. I'm not talking to you, Jimmy. Honey, as in the stuff that the bees make. It's supposed to not have an expiration date. It never goes bad. So can somebody explain to me why the honey that we consumed Sunday afternoon while watching the glorious Masters golf tournament, how come it's crystallizing? Can anybody help me with that? Because I've been told that honey never expires. Perhaps it does, but God's word does not. It is always fresh. It is always current. You don't need to preach on the Poseidon adventure. Somebody probably preached that sermon once upon a time. How current is that? The Transformers. Hey, you want to be transformed? Romans 12:1 says that we should be transformed. Let's take a look at this clip from the Transformer. Here's Captain America. How relevant is that? It's not. It fades away, but God's word is fresh always.
Truth is powerful. Truth convicts. Truth saves. Truth judges. Truth damns. Truth sanctifies. Truth conforms. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's how powerful truth is. None of us can be liberated from the tyranny of sin and the bondage of Satan apart from the truth having its ministry in our lives. Jesus refers to the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. In other words, truth is absolute. Truth is not relative. There's not a truth for you and then a truth for someone else, and we all get to have our own truth. No, there is only one truth, and that truth is absolute for everyone in the universe. Francis Schaefer wrote years ago, Christianity is not a series of truths, plural, but rather truth spelled out with a capital T. Because truth is woven together like a beautiful tapestry. And when you pull one thread, it crinkles in another place because of the tightness with which it holds together. In other words, you tell me what you believe about one doctrine, and I will automatically tell you what you believe about 20 other doctrines.
Further, tell you what you believe about the Bible. Been hearing lately people kind of belly aching that, oh, those conservative Christians, they'll say that if you don't think right on this issue, you have a low view of the Bible. That's pretty much it right there. Because if you can't read something clearly, like, for instance, 1 Timothy 3, the role of pastor is reserved for a male, if you can figure out a way to make that say, not really, it's for both after all, that can only be accomplished through a low view of the Word.
The Word is truth, singular. It is not plural. It speaks with one voice. Truth never contradicts itself. It represents one diagnosis of the human dilemma from cover to cover. It presents one way of salvation. It presents one Christian worldview. It presents one standard of holiness. It presents one pattern for the family. Truth is singular. It all hangs together. And whatever contradicts biblical truth is false and a lie. Truth is incompatible with error. And truth is true regardless of how it speaks to a person's heart. Truth is not a feeling that fluctuates. Truth is a fact that is verified. Truth is found in specific words that are found in the Word of God and words that have specific meaning. Truth is black and white. Truth is concrete. Truth is perfect. It is complete. It is pure. Truth is exclusive, never inclusive. A truth is discriminating. It is very discriminating, and it excludes all that is untrue. Truth is never both and. Truth is always either or. Truth never stutters or mumbles. Truth always is outspoken, and truth always tells it like it is. Truth is very explicit. Truth is very exact. Truth is determinative. Truth determines how you live. Truth determines where you will spend all eternity. Truth will have the last word in your life on the last day. Do you see how important the truth is to your soul? How important the truth is in your life? How important it is that there is this thing of the reality of truth? Any departure from the Scripture is a departure from God Himself. The Word of God is our spiritual growth food. The Word of God is that which God uses to stimulate our maturity in Christ's likeness and growth in grace. This is the reign of truth. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you.
Give us some men who know the truth.
Boy. He actually out-crescendoed the crescendoing music. Are you encouraged to defend the truth? To be one who does not equivocate, waffle, get weak and soft, and recognizes what the battle is about? It is for truth. Why is the truth being assaulted? That's because the father of lies doesn't like it, and his modus operandi is to not tell the truth. It is to perpetually deceive. And if you and I do not want to be deceived, either in our personal lives or in our culture, then we need a healthy dose of the truth so that we can drink it in, enjoy it, be fed, have our thirst quenched, so that we can grow unto maturity and then go about the business of telling the world the great good news that Jesus Christ is the truth. And if he sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.